we'll just come to the day when there'll be a political headline of that, like, the parliament has come to an impasse because a minister came up with the bill and declared it to be zero giat and tore it up.
You are the first person. I've never heard anyone say impasse. I think it's impasse.
What, for chess?
No, that's en passant.
Okay. I think it's an impasse is what I've always heard. We're at an impasse.
He said impasse.
Is it impasse?
Bro, you definitely said impasse.
Someone hit the bong a little too hard.
Okay. I'm gonna write them. What time is it? I'm gonna get you, sucker. It's gonna be in the fucking opening now.
Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve.
Boys to men. BBD. BBD.
And Ryan.
Pour one out for the GOAT, one of the OGs, Ricky Henderson.
Ricky Henderson, I love you, dude.
I'm glad you went with that. You know what? Oh, I'm ready for it, man.
You're not ready for it. I mean, he was pretty old, you know?
No, I mean, I was ready for the cheers.
Have you ever heard the Ricky Henderson 316 story?
No, I don't think I have. I think I'm about to, though.
So, the story, I think, I forget who said it. I think it was like, it was a pitcher, I think, that was on his team at one point. Someone told him, they quoted John 3:16 to him, and he responded like something along the lines of, I don't care about John hitting 3:16, Ricky hitting 3:30.
Awesome.
I mean, the thing is he always talked in third person, so it was like, Ricky don't want to hear about John, Ricky hitting 3:30. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, rest in peace, bro. He stole every base and he stole our hearts.
He stole our hearts.
Much like another man, a Josip Broz Tito.
All right, so like, I will admit, this one's been going on so long. Yeah, that, and on top of that, I just casually searched and had some responses about like how brutal he was. Like, he was still a brutal dictator, right?
I mean, he wasn't as brutal as other like contemporary dictators.
But he was brutal.
But
he snuffed down dissent.
You don't have to be as bad as Hitler or Idi Amin to be brutal. And
he's still a shithead. Like, I don't want to put too much on his name, you know?
Well, he's a dictator.
Exactly.
Like, he's not democratically elected. He just...
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you're less dick and more tater, you know? You're just more like a potato, you know?
All right, listen, Steve, give me the TLDR on catching me up on this.
I don't know.
God damn it.
You know, Steve just went to the website for the Victims of Communism Memorial, and he brought up.
I didn't do that. I said
1 million victims of communism.
I didn't do that. I literally searched Google, like, what is the reputation of Tito as far as dissent?
He's just typed into Google Tito good or bad ?
He's not. No leader's universally good, but I'm just checking it out. You know, he's a dictator.
Yeah, well, he's ultimately a dictator, and I would say he's on the lower end of dictators, which means like he's bad, but he's not like. As bad as like Ceausescu or some of the other ones.
Oh yeah, Ceausescu. Yeah,
I think he got dragged out of the courtroom and murdered. He could not.
All I will say is that when we get to his death, he had the largest state funeral in history until Nelson Mandela died.
I mean, if you're like, a dictator, I would expect it.
But in the sense that it wasn't that he made his people go to the funeral. It was that so many heads of states of different countries. He had heads of states from like every side of the political spectrum coming to his funeral.
Interesting.
And it had the greatest attendance of political leaders out of any leader until like Nelson Mandela died like around 20 years later.
So I just typed in, was Josip Broz Tito good or bad, into ChatGPT. Yeah. And this wishy-washy AI fuck shit conclusion is Tito's legacy is a mix of achievements and failures. For some, he is a hero who brought stability and a unique brand of socialism to Yugoslavia. For others, he was an authoritarian who stifled freedoms and left unresolved issues that later exploded into violence. Your view will depend on which aspects of his leadership you prioritize.
Get out of here with this wishy-washy fuck shit. Tell me, is he good or bad? All right, now I'm really just going to go.
You just sounded like that black dude who does the memes on Instagram where he's like sleeping and he's like, get up.
Hang on. I'm really going to throw this into ChatGPT.
Get up. Using AI. You don't need no AI.
Hang on.
Tito was a dictator. And he was less dick and more tater.
I would say he was probably more brutal early on when he was still sort of going the Stalinist line.
Yeah.
But as he got further on, he became to be more and more allowing. And Yugoslavia, relative to every other communist country in the world at that time, was probably the freest communist country.
Right. Like there's certainly a spectrum. I'm not myopic.
People from Yugoslavia could go and live and work in other countries, which is something we'll talk about. But like anyone could get on a plane and go to Yugoslavia.
I would hope so. Why not?
Like if you just wanted to, you could go you just go there and vacation. Like you can't do that with obviously with North Korea. China.
You could, but the vacation has no end if you go to North Korea. That's the problem.
So your vacation is very tightly controlled, what you can say and shit.
Yeah, but I mean, you could just get on a plane and go to Yugoslavia, and as long as you followed, the visa stuff, you could just go, wander around.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, is Yugoslavia, a hot spot for tourism?
I mean,
and communist Yugoslavia. Fuck yeah, dude. That's where
you
want to
see the castles from Games of Thrones.
We're talking about premier level minge. You know, if you want to, you're really gonna get that commie minge. Ugh, some real skirt. Hot tail. No, I have no idea.
We enter into the 1950s and. During that time period, Yugoslav-Hungarian relations were strained, as Tito made it very not very secret his distaste for the Stalinist Matyas Rakosi and his preference for the quote-unquote national communist. And he preferred this other leader, a national communist named Imre Nagy.
That's a Hungarian.
So Tito's decision was then to create a Balkan pact by signing a treaty of alliance with NATO members Turkey and Greece in 1954, which was regarded as tantamount to joining NATO in the Soviet Union's eyes, and his vague talk of a neutralist communist federation of Eastern European states was seen as a threat, as a major threat to Moscow.
Why did you just fucking join NATO, huh? You do this thing.
Why don't you just tell me you're breaking up with me? Is that what it is?
You know, you beat around the bush. I'd rather you just get NATO membership.
The Yugoslav embassy in Budapest.
Run, Rudolph. And no, I'm sorry.
The Yugoslav embassy in Budapest at this time was seen by the Soviets as a center of subversion. In Hungary, as they accuse Yugoslav diplomats and journalists, sometimes with actual justification, of supporting Nagy.
Okay.
However, my brother will correct me, but I'm pretty sure Nagy is actually pronounced like Noj.
Noj.
Yeah, it's like Noj or something like that. Yeah.
I'm sure there's some crazy ass pronunciation where someone's gonna be like, "Are you a fucking idiot? You can't.
So,
you can't pronounce
it's
that.
It's clearly noise."
So you know that's the thing too. Like that word is because it's a last name, it can be pronounced however you want. There's no actual pronunciation to it. There's just the accepted pronunciation. Because there's a lot. Because my last name, I'm not gonna say it, but my last name is pronounced three or four different ways. As simple as it is. And
really?
Yeah, and people say it all kinds of different ways, and I've actually heard other people say it completely different, you know? It's weird.
Really?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Okay.
But there's someone made a really good argument. It was on Reddit. I saw someone respond to something. They were like, is it pronounced, not the my name, but like another word, like, is it pronounced this way or this way? And it's like, well, if you're in Tana fucking C, it's pronounced however they say it. Like, that's just how they all know how to say it, you know? They don't have to correct themselves because they're not in, like, mainland Spain, you know?
Yeah. España, say it right.
España. Welcome to Barcelona. Here Barcelona. We have many sunsets.
Aquí.
Aquí we have mucho sunsets.
However, when the revolt broke out in Hungary in October of 1956...
Hell yeah, boy.
Tito accused Nagy of losing control of the situation as he wanted a communist Hungary independent of the Soviet Union, not the overthrow of Hungarian communism.
Yeah, well, you fucked up and found out, so fuck off. Now we've gone full circle and we're back to fascism in Hungary.
Which is kind of what Tito was worried about.
That's funny. That's funny, actually, yeah. Because, I mean, Orban's like what you'd get if Musk was president.
Well, it's one of those things, too, where there's the Treaty of Trianon after World War I.
Yeah.
And, like, Hungary used to be a lot bigger, and then all these countries that are around Hungary are worried that, like, some Hungarian leader is going to come to power, and he's going to be like, we want the old land back. And it's like, well, that was 100 years ago, so you ain't getting shit.
Treaty of Trianon, by the way, another thing that sounds like something out of Dungeons & Dragons. The Treaty of Trianon has held back the purple dragons for four cycles.
Isn't that Raven's father in Teen Titans?
I don't watch that shit. I'm an adult.
It's Trigon, by the way, but yes.
I can't watch that show. It's a Teen Titans show. I'm an adult.
I'm talking about the comic book, which is for adults.
I can't buy grown, that.
Sophisticated mind like
I'm
myself.
Too old.
You actually have to have a very high IQ to understand.
And many world pipes,
it's the narrative. And smoking jackets. You guys just see the colored animations. It's more.
I sit down with an old fashioned and just open up a Teen Titans and enjoy the artwork and
Trigon, like the Greek god figure.
Not entirely, because he's like a demon.
Yeah, well, Trigon's like a demon. He's like at the bottom of the ocean or some shit.
Yeah, he's that's kind of his deal.
But yes, Titans are Greek gods.
Yeah, he has the only poison that can kill gods.
On October 31st, 1956,
like a Halloween, like a certain Luigi I know.
Hey, Luigi.
Hey, that Louis Prima song's been going around where it's just like at the end, he's just like, I'll take care of the numbers while you will pound the stone.
What I need to do is look up and find Luigi's mailing information, because I'm assuming he's at Rikers, but I gotta figure out like how to write him a letter, because Chipotle CEO said they were raising prices, so I gotta send Luigi a letter.
Nah, you know what though, dude? I have never, I'm one of those anti-Chipotle people. I've never liked it. I didn't like it, and it's I feel gross. Like they started fucking it. Like, they shrinkflated it, you know? Actually, I know they shrinkflated it, not because I go there, but because there's just been, like, post after post about it recently.
What do you mean they shrinkflated it?
You don't get the same amount of food that you used to get for more price.
It's like, yeah, dude, of course.
You could say, I mean, I guess you could say it's anywhere, but, like, specifically at those, like, really popular chains, it's always like, really?
Well, you know, Steve, when Donald Trump comes into office, it's all going to be over.
Oh, God, here we go.
Fucking morons, dude.
I can't wait to see the price of everything go up.
I love...
Like, well, the Democrats in Congress won't let them AOC, lower prices.
People may not like AOC, but her answer to the question of how do you combat him, or I think it was they were referring to Trump or Musk, was just like, you basically just ridicule and make fun of him. He can't handle it at all. Neither one of them.
That's why he bought Twitter.
It's all narcissists.
Yeah.
That's literally why
he bought Twitter, because people were basically going around calling him a failure who doesn't have a physics degree, essentially.
and then he got pushed into a corner, which everybody forgets. And he had to scramble to get the money to actually buy it, because he legally had an obligation to buy it.
Yeah,
so really it's like the Saudis that own it right now, because if I remember correctly, he got a shitload of money from the Saudi royal family.
Yeah, he got a lot of money from the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund and a bunch of other stuff.
All I know is he can't make the interest payments, and I think that has everything to do with why he's sidling up to Trump.
Yeah, his children really hate him. That and the FCC is really mad at him because of SpaceX is run by stupid people, and then they keep raining down like rocket parts on like wildlife preserves.
And like, didn't some of the pieces of one of their rockets fall in like a fucking neighborhood or some shit?
Yeah, because it's like right there, and in like the Houston area, I think it is.
Imagine walking out your front door and there's a rocket booster just fall
in
the street.
That just happened in Orlando with all those drones. That video is hilarious. Nobody died, so I laugh at it freely. And some kid just got whacked right in the head with a drone.
I can't remember exactly how I framed it, but you were talking about the drones over New Jersey, and I was like, I feel like
bro, that's my new band name.
Is not an alien, is that it's over New Jersey.
That's my new band name, bro. Like,
even aliens would be like, we're not going to that place. Let's go somewhere else.
Nah, man, New Jersey's not that bad. If it was Delaware, I'd say that, but yeah.
New Jersey's not that bad.
It's not.
As Ryan's here, just
no, people are. I mean, I'll literally go on like, and on about
like
this.
Irwin's jersey, like
the,
right?
Like the Bill Burr character, or what's his face?
Dennis Leary.
Not Dennis Leary. From the SNL bits. Casey Affleck.
Oh yeah.
Did you see the most recent Weekend Update thing with Colin Jost and Shay?
No.
They did the joke thing they do every year.
Yeah.
Where they have to read each other's jokes.
Yeah, each other's jokes, yeah.
Oh my god. I'm not gonna do it. It's always so good. You gotta go watch it.
Yeah, those are jokes I'm not repeating.
Michael Che makes Colin Jost talk in what he calls black voice. And then he literally starts talking shit about his wife because he's married to Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my god, dude, it's funny as hell. I saw it on X. It's probably on Blue Sky too.
I gotta go look it up.
On October 31st, 1956, Tito ordered the Yugoslav media to stop praising Nagy, and he quietly supported the Soviet intervention on November 4th to end the revolt in Hungary, as he believed that a Hungary ruled by anti-communists would pursue irredentist claims against Yugoslavia, as had just been the case during the interwar period.
So what year are we talking about right now?
1956.
Yeah,
that's when Hungary had their whole thing.
Yeah, their thing. Okay.
to escape from the Soviets, Nagy fled to the Yugoslav embassy, where Tito granted him asylum.
I love how there's a word. 5th. I love how irredentist is even a word. Like, it's such a convoluted word for, like, giving our shit back. You know? What are you? I'm an irredentist. What's that mean? Do you, like, are you...
Yeah,
you
control I stop listening.
It's called being a sore loser.
You're a dentist. Does that mean you're, like, an annoying dentist? Like,
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, like, I can understand Hungary after World War One being, like, yeah, we deserve to have that territory back. But after, like, Hungary participated in the Holocaust of World War II, it's like, yeah, you kind of lose the claims to that, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you lost the thread.
Yeah, Hungary is a mess.
Yeah. On November 5th, 1956, Soviet tanks shelled the Yugoslav embassy in Budapest, killing the Yugoslav cultural attaché and several other diplomats. Tito's refusal to turn over Nagy, despite increasingly shrill Soviet demands that he do so, served his purposes well with relations with the Western states, as he was presented in the Western media as a quote-unquote good communist who stood up to Moscow by sheltering Nagy and other Hungarian leaders.
The enemy of my enemy is my communist friend.
On November 22nd, Nagy and his cabinet left the embassy on a bus that took them into exile in Yugoslavia after the new Hungarian leader, Janos Kadar, had promised Tito in writing that they would not be harmed.
I feel like Janos is a good name. That's a good name. Janos.
Good, strong name. Yeah, man's name.
Sounds like a man who's very stoic, very like monosyllabic. You meet strong, him. Like, he's got kind of one of those haircuts where he definitely doesn't fix it in the morning, but somehow it's okay, and he's smoking Pall Malls. And he's just like, and you get off a bus, and you're trying to find something special, and he's like, I get for you. Janos.
I agree with all that, but he's smoking Winston's.
Oh, well, yeah. He might be. I like these American cigarettes.
He gets, like, imported Winston's, like, airdropped into him.
Hungarian cigarettes weak. This is a Kentucky tobacco.
This kills the American cowboy.
This wounds...
This is the taste of the bluegrass.
I think it's either Poland, Poland or Russia that says Amerikański or something like that. Yeah, this is the Amerikański.
Much to Tito's fury, when the bus left the Yugoslav embassy, it was promptly boarded by KGB agents who arrested the Hungarian leaders and roughly handled the Yugoslav diplomats who tried to protect them. Negi's kidnapping, followed by his execution, almost led Yugoslavia to break off all diplomatic relations with the Soviet Union, and in 1957, Tito boycotted the ceremonials in Moscow for the 40th anniversary of the October Revolution.
How dare
he? The communist leader who did not attend.
How dare
he? Nagy? They killed Nagy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
Poor Nagy.
Yugoslavia, though, as I mentioned earlier, had a very liberal travel policy permitting foreigners to freely travel through the country and its citizens to travel worldwide, whereas it was limited by most communist countries. A number of Yugoslav citizens worked with throughout Western Europe, and Tito met many leaders during his rule and numerous celebrities.
So why did communist countries say, no, you can't travel? Did they want people to see how good it was outside communist countries?
Well, there was always a fear that people would not come back, which was generally what would happen. It's like why the Berlin Wall exists, because if you're a trained expert, like if you're one of the best people in your field, like you can live a much better life in a Western country.
Okay.
So like if you're like the world's best like engineer or whatever, and you go to the United States, like the US government could say, like, hey, if you want to stay here, we can give you citizenship and you can work for us and we'll make sure you're well taken care of.
So basically they're just afraid of people leaving and not coming back when they see how good it is outside of communism.
It's essentially a problem of like a brain drain, and also there is a sense that they don't want people to know much about the outside world. Depending on the communist country, it depends. Like for instance, East Germans all knew what life was like in West Germany because they could all get TV from West Germany.
Right. And like the one new radio.
There was only one area in East Germany. I think it's around, it was an area in like Thuringia where they couldn't get, TV signals from West Germany because, and the name of the area was the Valley of the Ignorant in German.
Because
they didn't know, what life was like outside of East Germany because they couldn't get the TV, signals. Because, like, originally in East Germany, it was illegal for you to watch or listen to Western media.
Right.
But because so many people were doing it, they'd realize they'd have to arrest the whole country, so they disallowed it.
That's kind of like that's how you get some shit legalized. See, look, even in a communist fucking hellhole, you can fucking get shit legalized by collective action, bro.
Isn't that kind of how the wall came down? There were just so many fucking people that wanted it. They were just like, yeah, I guess it's coming down, whatever.
Well, I think it's because of the sound of Reagan's voice, dude.
Yeah, it was Reagan's voice.
Yeah, it was his voice. He brought it down like the walls of Jericho. Mr. Gorbachev.
He was sundowning Ronald Reagan.
Tear down that wall. Well, he's going to tear down the wall, Nancy. How about a little, blowy action, all right? Ronnie, I'm already down there. I can't feel a thing.
You know, it doesn't show up on the recording, but when Ronald Reagan said wall, it was like Black Canary doing the canary
to the windows,
set up the sonic wave that knocked down the wall.
To the sweat traps down these balls. All these females crawl. Oh, skeet skeet, motherfucker. I love when I'm that guy too, by the way, when people start that song, they're like, to the windows, the walls, and I'm like, do you know the next lyric?
It's till the sweat drops down my balls. Do you want to keep singing that?
It's like when my friend she's not really my friend anymore, but this girl we knew, she's really into Nicki Minaj, and I was like, she thought she was like really cute and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, she's pretty cool, pretty cute. Have you heard Shitting on Him? So I played Shitting on Him for her. You know, she's like, Shitting on Him. Throw your number twos in the air if you did it on him.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
Yugoslavia, though, would provide major assistance to anti-colonialist movements in the developing world as well.
Yeah, just
the so-called third world during this period. The Yugoslav delegation was the first to bring the demands of the Algerian National Liberation Front to the United Nations. In January of 1958, the French Navy boarded the Slovenia cargo ship off Faran, whose holds were filled with weapons for the insurgents. The diplomat Danilo Milik explained that, quote-unquote, Tito and the leading nucleus of the League of Communists of Yugoslavia really saw in the Third World's liberation struggles a replica of their own struggle against the fascist occupants. They vibrated to the rhythm of the advances or setbacks of the FLN or Viet Cong.
Interesting.
Thousands of Yugoslav military advisors traveled to Guinea after its decolonization and as the French government tried to destabilize the country. Well, because they still want to be there and they're pissed off that, you know, that the rebels had overthrown the French.
Oh, okay.
It's more like, yeah, we're gonna fuck it up for them so that they fail, which is like the story of like every country in like Africa and half the ones in South America where people are like, well, why are these countries so bad? And it's like, it's almost like the countries that used to rule them made it so that they would be bad.
Right.
Tito also
it's basically like colonial redlining kind of.
Well, the fact that the colonies themselves were set up that they could never be successful as countries.
Yeah, so what I said is 100% accurate analogy.
Well,
I think you got him. I think you got him.
Redlining was specifically
132 episodes. I think you got him.
Yeah, but redlining involves housing. It's a bit of a different thing when they're just like, yeah, we're not going to actually build any actual like infrastructure in this country. We're just going to like.
Yeah,
we're just gonna leave them with nothing.
And they didn't build any infrastructure in those cities either.
Well, not
in the redlined areas.
Well, I would say it was more like forcing like African Americans in the ghettos.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
I mean, that's an aspect of it, but still, ultimately, if you force an entire people into a certain section of the area that's economically disadvantaged on purpose, which is totally part of the scenario. There's no like local businesses, and they couldn't get on mass transportation, and it was like, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then when you fix all that stuff, you still can't do it because now they're already fucked. They set them up to fail. It's actually one of the best arguments for reparations, even though I don't believe you can implement reparations not fairly anymore.
You don't think so?
No, I think we've done quite a bit, and I think we can continue to do more, but reparations to me seems like a mistake. It feels like monetary reparations. But
oh, yeah, I mean, I don't think, yeah, okay.
You can't just be giving people a lottery ticket. Yeah, they're going to waste, it's not because they're black or anything, they're just going to waste the money like everyone would, you know? And it's just not going to go to the right place. There's all kinds of problems with it.
It's also like just the nature that a lot of the things that have been extended to essentially like our relatives and ancestors were not extended to African Americans, like the GI Bill and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That we are the product of generations of post, you know, slavery like government programs that were denied to black people because they were black.
Right.
Same is true as like why public housing and mass transportation doesn't exist in America is because when it came to like public housing, the question came of like. That it had to be segregated, which essentially destroyed it from the onset.
Right.
And then before desegregation, like every city in America had these robust plans for mass transit. And then when it was desegregated, they immediately stopped all those plans.
They just shut it down.
They were immediately shut down. They reversed on everything because they didn't want, you know, people of color coming into white communities.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, the best thing to read about, I think, is still Tennessee Coates' case for reparations. It's very interesting. Anyway, nobody got reparations in Yugoslavia either.
Tito also covertly helped left-wing liberation movements to destabilize the Portuguese Empire. He saw the murder of Patrice Lumumba in 1961 as the greatest crime in contemporary history.
Our boy.
Patrice.
It's been over a year,
I think, since we talked about him.
Yeah, right? It's been a minute.
It's been a long time.
The country's military academies hosted left-wing activists from the SWAPO guerrilla organization from Namibia and the Pan-Africanist Congress of Zania from South Africa as part of Tito's efforts to undermine apartheid in South Africa. In 1980, the intelligence services of South Africa and Argentina plotted to return the favor by covertly bringing 1,500 anti-urban communist guerrillas to Yugoslavia.
What are they trying to, like, the early version of Ron DeSantis is just kind of deporting migrants to liberal states?
Who's your impression for this thing that happened 50 years before Ron DeSantis was born? Ron DeSantis.
It was like the Bay of Pigs, I guess, where they're just like, yeah, we're gonna send these guys to, like, oh no, they're all getting killed. What's happening?
You mean like the GOP National Convention? The Bay of Pigs.
Or when they send those mercenaries to Venezuela, and the one guy literally pissed himself as he was lying face down on the pavement.
Oh my Jesus Christ.
I've done that, but it wasn't because I was scared.
The operation was aimed at overthrowing Tito and was planned during the 1980 Summer Olympics in Moscow so that the Soviets would be too busy to react. The operation was finally abandoned due to Tito's death.
Oh, okay.
In 1953, Tito traveled to Britain for a state visit and met with Winston Churchill. He also toured Cambridge and visited the university library.
Winston! Lockstock, man. It's the best.
He visited India from December 22nd, 1954 to January 8th, 1955. After his return, he removed many restrictions on Yugoslavia's churches and spiritual institutions. He also developed warm relations with Burma under U Nu. Traveling to the country in 1955 and again in 1959, though he did not receive the same treatment in 1959 with the new leader, Nguyen.
Why not?
Because it was, I believe he was more associated with the, sort of like the right-leaning military junta that would eventually take over the country.
Junta!
Tito had an especially close relationship with Prince Norodom Sihanouk of Cambodia, who preached an eccentric mixture of monarchism, Buddhism, and socialism, and like Tito, wanted his country to be neutral in the Cold War. We could probably do an episode on Sihanouk because he is pretty crazy.
How the fuck do you? Never mind. I don't know. I don't even want to know how the fuck you mix monarchism, Buddhism, and socialism. I don't even want to know.
You just do it, dude. I mean, you just you don't think about it, asshole.
Ignore the glaring space government. Ryan.
Yeah. What are you trying to do? Study. Jeez.
Ignore the glaring fucking hypocrisy of mixing some of this stuff together.
Look, you just take the Ayn Rand approach. You make a philosophy that makes no sense, and you just lean into it.
No, Ryan, I'm going to stop you there. I just think it is. I just think it is crass racism that you think our boy Prince Sihanouk doesn't know the first thing about socialism.
Listen, if a prince doesn't know about socialism, who really does?
Tito saw Sihanouk as something of a kindred soul who, like him, had to struggle to maintain his backward country's neutrality in the face of rival power blocks. By contrast, Tito strongly disliked President Idi Amin of Uganda, whom he saw as thuggish and possibly insane.
It's the thuggish, raggish ball.
That's a pretty accurate call.
Idi Amin was pretty much one of the worst people ever. Wasn't he a cannibal?
Well, yeah, that's one of the alleged things about him. I don't know if it's ever been confirmed if he actually ate a person, but it was one of those rumors that he wanted people to think about him.
He wanted them to think it.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, you want people to think you're, like, that much of a monster so they don't mess with you.
Don't fuck with that guy. He's crazy.
because of his
neutrality. I once saw him fight a dude, and instead of punching, the guy went to punch him. He got in close. He gave him a big smooch. <It's crazy. sighs> my wife says that all the time. It's the most disrespectful fucking weird thing.
If I was fighting somebody and they just kissed me, bro, I'd be so fucking
mad. I'd be so mad, right? It's so funny. Fucking my wife was talking about watching football, and she's just like, when they start fighting on the field, she's like, yeah, kiss them.
Oh my fucking god.
That shit is so funny. Oh, you like that? Yeah, I just sent Ryan a meme. An
Eldritch horror from beyond the stars, kid.
Just a reminder. That thing
is wicked scary.
Most of H.P. Lovecraft's stories are set in or near Massachusetts. Therefore, you should be giving all the characters Bostonian accents. Oh my god, it's an Eldritch horror from beyond the stars.
The thing's got like 8 fucking arms, kid. Get the fuck out of here.
It's wicked creepy.
Because of its neutrality, Yugoslavia was often rare among communist countries in having diplomatic relations with right-wing anti-communist governments. For example, Yugoslavia was the only communist country that had diplomatic relations with Alfredo Stroessner's Paraguay.
Yeah.
Yugoslavia went on to sell arms to the staunchly anti-communist regime of Guatemala under Kiel Eugenio Lagrad Garcia during the Guatemalan Civil War.
Excuse me? Were there commas in that person's fucking name? Jesus.
Well, he has four, he has four names, and they're not standard Spanish names. It's Kijel, Eugenio, Lagrad, Garcia. I sound like I'm doing the old SNL bit Dave about Rodriguez.
You kind of sound like you're sounding out an ancient tome. You know, like you're about to cast some kind of fucking weird spell.
Quatu
Barada, Nikto. I was literally. That's funny. I mean, it's not the same thing, but I was just watching Twilight Zone last night. Some old good shit.
Listen, you're sitting there sounding out this guy's name. My fucking furniture started to levitate over here.
Anyway, I got to go real quick. I got a dust under there. I can never get under there. That couch is wicked heavy.
No, but keep talking. Keep talking.
Notable exceptions.
It's made out of full burl oak.
Notable exceptions to Yugoslavia's neutral stance toward anti-communist countries included Spain under Franco, Greece under the Greek Junta, and Chile under Pinochet. Yugoslavia was one of many countries that severed diplomatic relations with Chile after Allende was overthrown and assassinated by Pinochet.
There's a good NoFX song called Franco on American. You know, like Franco-American, but Franco on American. It's good.
Starting in the 1950s, Tito's government permitted Yugoslav workers to go to Western Europe, especially West Germany, as what was called guest workers or Gastarbeiter.
A what? Oh, okay. Never mind.
Gastarbeiter.
The exposure of many Yugoslavs to the West and its culture led many Yugoslavians to view themselves as culturally closer to Western Europe than Eastern Europe.
Say that again?
I said that
they thought they were more
of many Yugoslavians
were than they were Eastern, right?
Yeah, that they had more an association with Western Europe than Eastern Europe.
Kind of like when that weird kid from high school finds out that, like, he's got a 97th cousin that's like Japanese, so he becomes a gigantic weeb.
Well, no, like in the fact that they go to Germany and things are like open and normal there. And if they go to like the Soviet Union, they find that things are like weird and closed off there.
Thank you. I needed that. Sorry, I didn't get there. It took a pretty big hit, so you know. Oh man!
In the autumn of 1960, Tito met then President Dwight D. Eisenhower at the United Nations General Assembly meeting.
Big D. Ike.
They discussed a range of issues from arms control to economic development.
I like Ike.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Didn't he run three? Didn't he serve three terms? Isn't he the only one?
No, he served two.
It was Roosevelt, right?
Roosevelt was the last to serve three terms.
Roosevelt, okay.
Yeah. When Eisenhower remarked that Yugoslavia's neutrality was "quote unquote" neutral on his side, Tito replied that neutrality did not imply passivity, but meant "quote unquote" not taking sides.
We are actively passive.
Yeah, it's like America.
You're not like passive, but you're like actively.
Look, we're not saying what we're doing on here, okay? But we're clearly, we're going to help out. We're not telling you why we're here, but I did send 1,000 missiles, so.
But we're here.
On On April 7th, 1963, the country changed its official name from the Federal People's Republic to the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. Economic reforms encouraged small-scale private enterprise. Up to 5 full-time workers, most of these were family businesses, and largest of these were in agriculture, and greatly relaxed restrictions on religious expression. Tito subsequently toured the Americas. In Chile, 2 government ministers resigned over his visit to the country. In 1966, an agreement with the Holy See, fostered in part by the death in 1960 of the anti-communist Archbishop of Zagreb, Aloysius Stepanak, and shifts in the church's approach to resisting communism originating in the Second Vatican Council accorded new freedom to the Yugoslav Roman Catholic Church, particularly to catechize and have open seminaries.
Yeah, the Holy See is Vatican.
The agreement also eased tensions which had prevented the naming of new bishops in Yugoslavia since 1945. The Holy See in Yugoslavia reconciled their relations and worked together on achieving peace in Vietnam. Tito's new socialism met opposition from traditional communists, culminating in a conspiracy headed by Alexander Rankovic.
There he is again. I don't know why his name sounds familiar.
Allegedly, the charge on which he was removed from power and expelled from the LCY was that he bugged Tito's working and sleeping quarters, as well as those of many other high-ranking officials.
What's the LCY?
The Communist Party of Yugoslavia.
Okay.
Yeah.
For almost 20 years, Rankovic was the head of the state security apparatus, as well as the Federal Secretary of Internal Affairs. His position as a party whip and Tito's way of controlling and monitoring the government, and to a certain extent, the people bothered many, especially the younger generation of government officials who were working toward a more liberal Yugoslav society.
Whip. That's the immediate downfall right there, Gen Z. When the new people come in there, the old boomers are out of there.
All right, you guys are out of here like Skibbity Toilet, Ohio.
They're making Yugoslavia woke.
You know, no cap. I love this place.
Listen, I fuck with this place. No cap. Fucking excited to see like Gen Z grow up, but that like kind of terminology and that slang never really die. And you hear like a congressman 20 years from now slip up and be like, "Yeah, mid."
I'm waiting for oldies radio because like, so this is kind of an interesting generational divide. But like, I used to listen to old music. Like when I was a kid, I loved it. And I loved talk radio, and the old music. I thought it was good because my grandfather would make us listen to it in the car, and I just liked it.
I still like old music from the 70s right now.
No, I'm talking about like the 40s, dude. Like old shit. And I'm not trying to be cool. It's just a different time period. But
right.
So when oldies were oldies,
like 70s. I like the 40s.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. How'd the hipster burn his mouth? He ate the pizza before it was cool.
Grandfather is Steve. He's not hep to know race music, but this is some good big band you can listen to.
But we were the last generation and several after ours, but I think mostly ours, where that was still on AM radio. Like, okay. It was on AM radio when I was a kid. You could turn on, I think it was WBUD back in Jersey, and it was 1260. And it would just play old music, and you're like, huh, that's interesting. But then as we got towards high school, gone.
Interesting. No,
because the generation that listened to it is all dead. So, or dying. So there was no need for it anymore. It didn't sell.
We'll just come to the day when there'll be a political headline of that, like, the parliament has come to an impasse because a minister came up with the bill and declared it to be zero giat.
You were the first person. I've never heard anyone say impasse. I think it's impasse.
What, for chess?
No, that's en passant.
Okay, I think it's an impasse is what I've always heard. We're at an impasse.
He said impasse.
Is it impasse?
Bro, you definitely said impasse.
Someone hit the bong a little too hard.
Okay. I'm gonna write them. What time is it? I'm gonna get you, sucker. It's gonna be in the fucking opening now. It's gonna be the whole fucking opening. It's just gonna be us talking about, oh, did Steve say impasse or did he say impasse?
Steve's gonna be up all night just turning the dial. Like,
no way, dude. Really
forward. Second, no by way. Second listening. To
I, that's it. I tell you, eyes. Honestly, that's like my one gripe about weed is that about 3 to 4 hours in, I can't stay awake. I am like completely done. Doesn't even matter how much I have. I'm done.
That's fine.
It's fine, but like I feel like alcohol, I could go like 6, 7, 8 hours. You know.
Yeah. Can your liver though?
Fuck no.
You know what liver failure looks like?
Yeah.
It's not good.
Why are you
fucking
so
good?
Why are you so quick calling me yellow? No, you're really yellow. There's something
like your you fucking need to eyeballs go somewhere. Are yellow.
You, I think you should go down emergency room there, Chet. Fuck you.
Met recently in the emergency room a kid who was like in his early 20s.
This is gonna be sad, dude.
No, already in liver failure from drinking. And I'm like,
oh, that's not sad. What the fuck?
No, he did it to himself. I was like, dude, what are you fuck?
It's still sad. Still sad. When you're younger like that, we give more credence to it a little bit because, I mean, you know, you're more impulsive. And it's just unfortunate that nothing stopped you, you know?
Yeah, no, that's, yeah. I my empathy gets lost for stuff like that.
But when you're younger, I mean, you got to have... You gotta have some,
especially when you've had chances and chances.
If you're 20,
stop.
Yeah, but everyone has chances to stop, but kids.
But to drink that much by 20,
I mean 20 for some people though. I mean,
not necessarily 20. Could have been in his 20s.
It could have been pre-existing liver issues too. I mean, like you don't know.
It has to be at that level because
I mean, you unless you're drinking like you know gallons of alcohol, but I'm sure it happens.
I'm sure it happens.
Oh yeah, we're positive, right? I know for a fact that these fuckers are doing this.
In the same year, Tito declared that communists must
henceforth back to Joseph.
Yugoslavia is
what, not interesting enough for you? You talk about these alcoholic deaths in the emergency room. What's that?
Did Joseph die of liver failure?
We didn't even have alcohol in Yugoslavia. We're perfect.
Tito declared that communists must henceforth chart Yugoslavia's course by the force of their arguments, which implied that that they were abandoning Leninist orthodoxy and moving to a more liberal form of socialism. On January 1st, 1967, Yugoslavia became the first communist country to open its borders to all foreign visitors and abolish visa requirements.
Oh, shit.
In the same year, Tito became became active in promoting a peaceful resolution
to the Arab-Israeli
conflict.
You think that's good, but then anybody can get a credit card, you know?
His plan called for Arabs to recognize the state of Israel in exchange for territories Israel newly occupied.
Ah, there it is. No.
In 1968, Tito offered to fly to Prague on 3 hours' notice if Czechoslovak leader Alexander Dubček needed help in facing down the Soviets. In April of 1969, Tito removed the generals Ivan Gosnak and Rede Hamovic in the aftermath of the invasion of Czechoslovakia due to the unpreparedness of the Yugoslav army to respond to a similar invasion of Yugoslavia. A similar thing happened in Czechoslovakia during that time period as to what kind of happened in Hungary, where they said that they were going to follow their own type of like socialism and sort of move away from the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union and several of the Warsaw Pact countries like invaded and like put down like this movement and like arrested the leaders of Czechoslovakia.
Jesus Christ. Aren't they like...
Jesus Christ!
Aren't these sovereign nations, though? Like, even though communism, aren't you a sovereign nation?
Well, in theory, yes, but...
In practice, no. Heard. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Moving on.
In practice, no cap. Heard.
In practice, get fucked. Get in line, or you're gonna get your head chopped off, or you're gonna eat a bullet behind the fucking Steak and Shake. Like, you're just kidding.
That's a good Motorhead song. Get in line. I love that song.
In 1971, the Federal Assembly re-elected Tito as president of Yugoslavia for the sixth time. In his speech before the Federal Assembly, he introduced 20 sweeping constitutional amendments to provide an updated framework on which the country would be based. The amendments provided for a collective presidency.
Is that what based means, Steve? Yo, we're trying to make this country based for real.
A 22-member body consisting of elected representatives from six republics and two autonomous provinces.
Oh, man.
The body would have a single chairman of the presidency.
Hey, Ryan, what's based mean?
Based
don't look it up.
Means generally accepted. Like, what is proper and correct? What's right? So if you say, like, you know, Luigi shooting, you know, that United Healthcare CEO is based, it is, you know, what is the objectively correct thing?
Okay. This is a good definition, actually. It's a little off from what we looked up the other day. But
what did you look up the other
day? There's an element of, like, it's the cool thing. Too. Like, there's always, it's not just the proper thing. It's like, it's got to have like an edge to it a little bit.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
At least that's what we looked up.
Fair enough.
But the body would have a single chairman of the presidency, and chairmanship would rotate among six republics.
I'm glad it hit almost 40. I still get the slang. Hey,
yes. I think now's when I think now's when you start to have slangopia, which is when your slang starts going down a little bit. You lose a little bit.
Well, it's great because I can still understand slang, right? Like,
I kind of use my own slang, you know?
Well, I have friends that have kids, and their kids are, like, using it and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, like, I can kind of pick up all, like, what they're saying. It's not really that difficult. People that are, like, really making it a big deal, like, they can't understand it. I find, like, skibbity toilet. That's stupid as fuck. But, like,
apparently that's, like, from what we were talking about it, apparently that's for, like, grade schoolers. Like, that's, like...
Yeah, it's something dumb, right? But if you're a high schooler and, like, you can talk to a high schooler and you, like, you know, just listen to them speak, you can infer what they're saying.
As long as you're not, like, the Michael Rappaport, like, going on about, like...
Hey, Ma! Hey, Ma! There's a weird cat outside!
Lecturing black people on the four pillars of hip-hop and then, like, saying that if you don't think Israel should be allowed to, like, murder everyone within a 100-mile radius, you're an anti-Semite.
It's like, you know what's funny about that is that Rappaport traditionally had pretty nuanced takes on politics.
He did.
Like, I thought he was kind of like an outsider effect dude, where, like, you'd hear his opinion and you'd be like, huh, I like that. Or, like, I'm okay with that, you know? Almost like a Bill Burr. Like, I've never heard Bill Burr utter a political opinion that I didn't almost completely agree with.
Like, Michael Rappaport is the great value Bill Burr.
Yeah.
He's like, he's how you get people into Bill Burr. Because Bill Burr is very, very abrasive, right? If you just, dive in there.
He's
very
our
abrasive.
Generation's Epictetus. That's what he is.
Right. Just but he can throw people off. What you do is you get Michael Rappaport first, ease him in there to, like, that abrasivity, that little bit high energy, and then you hit him with Bill Burr. You know, you got to ease him in.
I love Bill Burr. I love how he just gives it to people, and he's so good. He has such good incision. Like, his words are so incisive that they just cut right to the point. And surgical. it's like, what are you gonna say? You can't say shit, Joe Rogan. You can't say shit. You're fucked, Bill Maher. He crushed Bill Maher. My God.
Oh yeah, no, Bill Maher. I think. Bill Maher, like, changed networks.
Yeah, Bill Maher looked generally scared. like
no, Bill Maher went in and Bill Maher changed networks.
Well, he's still on HBO.
Yeah, but didn't he, like, start a new show as well?
He has Club Random, which is, like, his, like, quote-unquote, like, podcast YouTube show where people come down to his basement, and then he allegedly smokes a lot of weed and gets drunk.
So he's, like, Joe Rogan light.
And, like, can't take his hands off, like, Bella Thorne or whatever.
Jesus Christ.
So he makes his amendments that creates this, like, new council that runs things. And this Federal Assembly, when it failed to agree on legislation, this collective presidency of 22-member body would have the power to rule by decree. Amendments also provided for a stronger cabinet with considerable power to initiate and pursue legislation independently from the Communist Party.
I like a strong cabinet, you know.
Zemel Bezhedik was chosen as premier, and the new amendments aim to decentralize the country by granting greater autonomy to the republics and provinces. If you know anything about the Baltics, not the Baltics, the Balkans, this is generally not a good thing if you're familiar with history from the last like 40 years.
Yeah, I know Boris Balkan, the famed bookseller from the Ninth Gate, and the Club Dumas.
The federal government would retain authority only over foreign affairs, defense, internal security, monetary affairs, free trade within Yugoslavia, and the development loans to poorer regions.
Did free trade help?
Well, within the country. So essentially like cross-state trade.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. We have weird laws about that in this country.
Ultimately, to answer your question, does free trade help? It doesn't, because that's the great lie that America teaches to the rest of the world, is that America claims that free trade is what made it successful, and it wasn't. Protectionism made America successful, and there's a really good essay that's written by a South Korean economist that I read recently that goes into that, and essentially that, like, no, America became successful due to protectionism, and them preaching free trade is just them selling like a bill of goods to everybody else to mess them up.
So protectionism, like mafia protectionism, like we're going to protect you, you pay us, or like protectionism as in we are so isolated from the rest of the world that we're just able to run amok?
Both? Well, not that. Just the fact that why can't you buy a K-truck in America, Ryan?
What's a K-truck?
A K-truck is like...
You know those little trucks? Like the little tiny Japanese trucks.
They use in
trucks.
Japan or whatever that they...
Aren't there laws against importing them?
Yeah, so why are there laws against importing them, Ryan?
Because our country sucks? I mean, honest answer, I don't know.
Well, it's essentially to protect the American car industry, that there's a lot of these laws that prevent foreign car makers either hiding behind things like protection standards or other things that prevent them from easily importing their vehicles into the United States, which, like, a lot of these vehicles can be freely sold in, like, Western European countries, which have much higher safety standards. So a lot of it is, you know, just the protectionism of America and protecting American automakers.
Kind of like we can sell you our shit, but we're not going to buy yours.
Yeah, but
the market is so lucrative that you kind of have to do business here, so you kind of got to do it our way.
And so cutting off them from this integral market allows like the US to flourish, and then they tell everybody else, like, no, you have to open your markets to everyone so everyone can sell it. That's how you become successful. And it's like, well, no, American businesses become successful because they prevent foreign businesses from undercutting them.
Right.
Except when it comes to IT support. Microsoft is so bad, dude. If I have to call Microsoft, I usually will announce in chat that I will not be available the rest of the day. and here's the thing,
Steve, it's 9:30 in the morning. What do you mean?
It's like a 2 to 3 hour thing, bro. Like if I'm at the point where I have to call Microsoft, first of all, it is a mixed bag as to whether the person really speaks like American English at all. It's just what they were taught, and it can be really hard to get the point across in an extremely technical situation. Especially when you're like, because if you're at the point you're calling Microsoft, you really don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, you have no idea. Something's up. And then, you know, they call you, and then they just do a lot of stuff through email and just recommend stuff that's already on their website. And then that goes on for like a week. And then you finally get someone who's like maybe an engineer level guy or gal. And they want to start over.
Did you try restarting it?
Yeah. And you're just like, fuck me, dude. I'm done.
Control of education, healthcare, and housing would be exercised entirely by the governments of the republics and the autonomous provinces. It was also during this period that Tito's greatest strengths, as viewed through the eyes of Western communists, had been in suppressing nationalist insurrections and maintaining unity throughout the country. It was Tito's call for brotherhood.
Suppressing what?
Nationalism. Because remember, Yugoslavia is not a national identity.
No.
It's just a
region, and then there's nationalities.
It's a country with republics in it that are made up of different nationalities that all have very distinct histories that go back centuries.
Okay, so same basic thing I said, but yeah. I'm just fucking kidding. How dare was, you, man?
Good day, sir.
I said good day.
It was Tito's call for brotherhood and unity and related methods that held together the people of Yugoslavia. The ability was put to the test several times during his reign, notably during the Croatian Spring, also referred to a period known as the mass movement, when the government suppressed both public demonstrations and dissenting opinions within the Communist Party.
Usually the mass movement happens like the day after the Super Bowl, you know? Because everyone ate way too much food. And
also halftime, you know, as well, I heard.
Really hurts the plumbing industry.
Despite the suppression, much of Maspach's demands, including the decentralization, were later realized with the new constitution, heavily backed by Tito himself against opposition from the Serbian branch of the party, who favored centralization. But it's also important, too, because if you remember from the, if you're familiar with the history of the breakup of Yugoslavia, it's essentially Serbia that wants to dominate all the other countries and, like, bring them back in and, you know, take them over.
Serbia wants to be, like, a little Russia? Or, sorry, a little, like, Soviet Union?
Well, I wouldn't say it was like the Soviet Union. It's just more the argument that in ancient times, these were, like, Serbian lands, so they belong to us.
Gotcha.
But it just sort of goes back to these things of, like, claiming, like, centuries long, like this guy built a church here, a Serbian Orthodox church here in, like 12 whatever. So this obviously, this and, like, the 500 miles around it obviously belong to us.
Hey, listen.
You all,
you ever heard of irredentism? You ever heard of that? Irredentism. What is that? Is that angry dentist? What's going on? Why is the dentist angry?
He's angry because you don't flock.
What have you done to make the dentist angry?
He told you to floss, you don't floss, now he's angry.
Of course he's angry. I am angry.
On May 16th, 1974...
If you're not sure who we are, I had to think about it for a second. We're being Josep Tito, okay? Just letting you know, okay? That wasn't my man Janos from earlier in the episode, all right? On a lot of caffeine.
They sound remarkably similar, but...
Janos and Josep, very similar sound. A Yugoslav draw, I believe it's called.
I'm going to stop Steve for it. It's the vanilla ice. They're not the same.
Mine's dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And this one's dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
See, there's a difference. You know what sucks is in copyright law, that is a legitimate excuse.
On May 16th, 1974, the new constitution was passed, and the 82-year-old Tito was named president for life. An interesting anecdote from this is that when they made the communists, when they made this the new constitution, one of the things in the language that was used apparently was that in the event that Tito died, like in terms of his succession, and he's 82 years old, and they put in the constitution in the event that he should die,
like suggesting that they had some immortality engine.
This guy could keep going on forever. Like,
we have
like
Tito. Not like, every not like
when
3
Tito
weeks,
dies,
he gets a like, full well, power of sun injection. You know.
Also, Steve, I heard you laugh when he said that Tito was named president for life. Don't laugh. That's coming down the pipe.
Why do you think
Donald
I laughed?
Trump is going to be president.
Why do you think I laughed? Of course, of course, I'm worried about that. You got the Speaker of the House asking. Literally, this is not a debatable thing. It's a news report. Asking Elon Musk if he wants to be Speaker of the House.
So technically anybody can. They have to nominate him.
Yeah.
You don't have to be voted into well, any
think,
sort
think,
of...
Do you have to be a legitimate U.S. citizen? Because he's
wasn't
not.
That more of like a, wasn't that
I don't even
like
think
a,
you do.
Like
wait, no, you
thing?
Actually might have to because you're...
According to their rules, he should be removed from the country because he was here illegally, and he's technically still here illegally because it's a fraud how he stayed in the country.
Yeah, and technically by their rules, the Bible should be banned from every library in the goddamn country because of this violence and sex. But you know what? We don't play.
No, I'm talking about the other side's, the rules they want to implement. Like the shitty rules that they want to implement. That's what I'm saying, if you go ahead.
I would say the bill that they need to implement, which would be on biblical principles, is that all debt must be forgiven after 7 years, which it clearly states in the Bible.
In the Bible, verbatim, and it's not even a debated line.
No. But we can't do that though. That's not the right part.
You gotta keep people down, man. You gotta, you know.
So you're reading into it too much. Otherwise,
you know, Steve.
What it means is every 7 years you owe me more money.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta pay the vigorous.
But the 1974 Constitution, when it was introduced, it caused issues for the Yugoslavian economy and distorted its market mechanism, leading to an escalation of ethnic tensions. Because remember, this decentralization of the country, not all of the republics are on equal footing. So this causes this sort of conflict within Yugoslavia between them. Because imagine, like, in the United States, that there's sort of, like, this thing where, you know, people get mad, you know, like, Mississippi is just constantly taking and never giving, whereas, like, the states around it are, like...
The fuck's your problem with Mississippi?
The problem is it's a shithole,
Mississippi
Steve.
Catching strays over...
I just think, like, the gall, just the human, just the ridiculousness of having that many S's in your name, you know?
Just the audacity.
The only person who has more S's in their name is a small town in fucking Spain. Like, get out of here.
Steve's just coming to the aid of Mississippi because they gave him that all expenses paid trip to Biloxi.
Isn't Mississippi one of the most racist states?
It's the poorest state in the country.
This is zero in education, zero in finance.
All the sliders are so to poor. The bottom.
The education is so low in that state let Brett Favre take advantage of the welfare system.
Yeah, I still don't understand how he's getting away with that. Like, I mean, I understand, obviously, but it's still just, it's such a cut and dry case.
It's sort of a situation where you have these states that, you know, these republics in Yugoslavia, mm-hmm. they make a lot more like states in the country. But for us, it's not that big of a difference because, you know, a state's a state. Like, it doesn't really mean anything.
What?
But,
huh?
Like Florida, like the difference between Florida and Georgia doesn't really mean anything to us because there's no such thing as like an ethnic Floridian or an ethnic like Georgian.
Correct, but it definitely means something.
Well, technically,
shithole like there, Mississippi.
There are ethnic Georgians, bro. It's an Eastern European country.
Hey, tell somebody from New York that they're no different from somebody from Connecticut. You get punched in the mouth.
but my point is that, like,
why is there a difference between states only when they're assholes?
They know.
Don't you dare tell me I'm from New Jersey. It's a terrible state.
Tell somebody from Dallas, Texas, that they're no different from somebody from Los Angeles, California.
Dallas, LA, you know, big difference.
I mean, at this point, Ryan, like, a good population of Dallas are originally from California at this point.
That's true. We got to get out of here. The taxes are too high. And you know what's great about Texas is weed's not legal. I love it. Let's move.
But there's like the thing too where, like, you know, like Serbian identity. Like Serbia is a sort of ethnic identity that's been around for like over 1,000 years.
Oh.
It's existed in this location. And then you have next to it another state that is another ethnic identity that might possibly be one that they think shouldn't exist.
The Serbian. Is that the Serbian?
Texas.
Serbian. Serbia. And where is it? The genocide over there?
Around like the like Bosnia Herzegovina.
Bosnia Herzegovina. Area. That's it. Yeah. I knew it was Herzegovina, but I couldn't think of the first one. Sorry, Bosnia. We just lost three listeners.
Also, too, when Tito would visit the United States, he avoided most of the Northeast due to large minorities of Yugoslav immigrants bitter about communism in Yugoslavia.
Oh, okay. Right.
Security for the state visits was usually high to keep him away from protesters who frequently burned the Yugoslav flag. During a visit to the United Nations in the late 1970s, immigrants shouted "Tito murderer" outside of the New York hotel, which he protested to United States authorities.
A.K.A. he called NYPD, he called 911 and said, they're screaming Tito murderer outside my hotel.
sir, what's your name again? I told you, it's Tito. Okay, and what block? What are you talking about? I'm not from here.
My name is Joseph Broz. Tito, as okay. Joseph Broz.
All right, Joey Broz, got it.
No. Joseph. Yeah, I heard your name, Joey B.
I know Joey Broz from the Garmin District, all right?
Joey B, hey, listen, is Sal your cousin? Does he still own the deli down there on 4th?
It's Joey Broz, right? Yeah. Yeah.
We've been chucking all the smash burgers in the neighborhood. We haven't found anybody who said anything about that.
All right, Joey B, what's the emergency? What do you need?
After the constitutional changes of 1974, Tito began reducing his role in the day-to-day running of the state, transferring much of it to the prime minister, who was the head of the government, but retained the final word on all major policy decisions as president and head of state and as the head of the League of Communists of Yugoslavia. The 40th anniversary of his Communist Party's leadership was observed on the Youth Day of 1977 throughout Yugoslavia. He continued to travel abroad and received foreign visitors, going to Beijing in 1977 and reconciling with the Chinese leadership that had once branded him a revisionist.
A revisionist?
Yeah, because they were orthodox, like Stalinists.
Okay.
In turn, Chairman Hua Guofeng visited Yugoslavia in 1979, which is very funny because...
Motherfucker
Hua
just Guofeng, code switched into Chinese there.
it's very funny with Hua Guofeng because he was only there for like a year.
It is the one language other than French that you cannot pronounce properly. As an American, so you have to code switch. You have to go full China.
where he was like barely the leader, and then Deng like replaced him.
Oh, Deng Xiaoping died.
In 1978, Tito traveled to the U.S. During the visit, strict security was imposed in Washington D.C. owing to the protests by anti-communist Croat, Serb, and Albanian groups.
Yeah.
Tito became increasingly ill over the course of 1979. During that time, Villa Serena was built for his use near Mirovic in the event of his recovery.
Villa Serena? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
On January 7th, and again of 1980, Tito was admitted to the medical center in Ljubljana, the capital city of Slovenia, which went with circulation problems in his legs. His stubbornness and refusal to allow doctors to follow through with the necessary amputation of his left leg played a part in his eventual death of gangrene-induced infection.
Yeah, this guy sounds like a moron.
That's a bad way to go, too.
His adjutant later testified that Tito threatened to take his own life if his leg was ever amputated, and that he had to hide Tito's pistol in fear that he would follow through on his threat.
Why? You get to Lieutenant Dan it up. Why the fuck?
I mean, when you're that old, like, he's in his 80s, and he's, like, not exactly the best life, even at the top in those countries. It's like you're constantly jockeying. I mean, he's probably fucking just done, you know?
They should have sold him on, like, you can be a cyborg.
Well, it's probably, like, that. It's probably also, like, an image thing, right? Like, he can't be seen without his leg because that would make him weak or something. You know,
or
well,
yeah, I'm sure he would have a fake strong leg. Of a leader I am. I just survived surgery where they took my leg.
Yeah.
I'm just going to describe every action he does with maximum force.
He's not Deadpool.
Yeah, I'm just going to describe every action he takes at maximum force as being described as lumbering. After a private conversation with his son Zarko and Misobras.
Zarko? Misobras sounds like a sandwich, but Zarko sounds like a fucking killer, man.
I would definitely destroy a miso bras sandwich. That sounds delicious.
You know what I'm saying? I'll take two of the miso bras and the schretzel, whatever that is.
Extra greens on those. Extra greens.
Green? We don't have green in Yugoslavia. What are you talking about? What color is? How you find this? You Amerikanski with your weird, weird colors.
This is an entire nation
that's ever shipping out. An entire nation that suffers from grout.
He finally agreed to having his left leg amputated in order to prevent the arterial blockages.
Good.
Go ahead, take it. It's fine. No,
the amputation,
it.
Though, the amputation, though, proved to be too late, and he died at the medical center on May 4th, 1980, 3 days short of his 88th birthday.
Take my fucking leg.
Bro, literally, that would not happen today. Like, we would just smack you with some antibiotics real quick and boom, be done. All right.
It's crazy. I mean, I talk about this to my brother all the time. Like, it's crazy how much medical advancement we have had in the last 100 years.
The craziest thing I think I ever see, and it still amazes me.
And by the way, we're now growing spines. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Huh? We grow spines, we grow livers, and we take lungs, and we can actually heal lungs. Like, so if you've had like smoking damage to your lungs and you die, you can actually donate them. Your lungs can be reperfused and healed and then put back into somebody else's body.
It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. It just gets better and better every year.
To this day, the craziest thing that I see, and I see it all the time, is little Gam Gam comes into the ER acting kind of weird.
Is that like a senior citizen rapper, little Gam Gam?
Little Gam Gam, yeah. Yeah. Anybody, you know, little grandma, she comes in, right? And she's acting kind of weird. She's acting kind of funny. Number one cause of confusion in the elderly is generally UTI. She's got a UTI. We give her fluids, we give her antibiotics, and you can literally, if she's in the ER long enough, you can watch her come back and like start being like,
oh yeah, I've heard stories like that. Yeah,
it's fucking insane being the nurse the whole time and talking to them. When they first come in, they barely know where they are, who they are. They're there, they're just totally out of it, and then within 3 hours they're like, oh yeah, hi, how are you? I'm like, holy shit, like this is where we're at in medicine. That's the cool shit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But this dumbass lost his leg and then refused to do it for so long he died of gangrene.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, I waited too long to have my leg chopped off and now I'm dead.
it's also 44 years ago.
Oh, he could have done a power move. He could have done it publicly. Televised it.
I don't think he was really that tough.
Watch
the doctor
take my leg. You know? Watch how strong I am. I don't even need painkillers.
He could have got Donnie and Marie to be the host.
Oh my well, god, we're here with Josep Broz Tito, and he's in a tremendous amount of pain. You want to tell us about that?
No, yes. No, guys.
My
guys,
leg is supposed to be cut off. I'm hurting emotionally.
Hear me out. Al Michaels and John Madden come
to you got a guy out there.
With his leg.
Yeah. Yeah, this here's a guy who runs a whole country. I mean, communism is 50% half mental.
Now before they do
it's
that,
it's 80% half mental.
They're gonna we're gonna have Starship playing, and then after that it's gonna be Charo.
Gucci Gucci.
Now here comes communism. The surgeon. He's under pressure.
Dun 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 dun.
Makes a cut. Down the middle.
That was a good joke. Oh man! All right, so he's dead. What next?
The state funeral of Tito drew many world statesmen. The leaders of 129 countries.
I heard Quincy Jones came to was his there.
Funeral. Based on the number of attending politicians and state delegations, at that time it was the largest state funeral in history. This concentration of dignitaries would be unmatched until the funeral of Pope John Paul II in 2005 and the memorial service of Nelson Mandela in 2013.
That's wild.
When I grew up, there was a phrase when you were trying to like say, it's the Pope Catholic, but in Jersey is the Pope Polish? not anymore.
Those who attended the funeral were four kings, 31 presidents, six princes, 22 prime ministers, and 47 ministers of foreign affairs.
That's crazy.
No. But what kind of people were there? Stop reading me your Crusader King's death list.
Well, they came from both sides of the Cold War, and they came from 128 countries out of the 154 UN members at that time.
Did America show up?
Yeah, America was there.
Wow, that's crazy.
America was a huge ally of.
They kind of supported him, right? Like openly.
Yeah, he got a lot of state visits. There's like pictures of him with like Nixon.
Yeah, he's been to America. So
what is this KFC? What is that?
I mean, at bare minimum, I feel like we would at least send a delegate. Say it's not the actual president.
It's Kentucky, which is a place I know of, and it's fried chicken. How do you do? Wait, do you put in oil? How do you keep house warm?
When they herbs and spices, what are these herbs and spices you speak of?
Wait, 13? Holy shit. There's only four here. Yeah, there's salt. There's double salt.
The New York Times wrote of Tito's death, Tito sought to improve life. Unlike others who rose to power on the communist wave after World War II, Tito did not long demand that his people suffer for a distant vision of a better life. After an initial Soviet influence bleak period, Tito moved toward radical improvement of life in the country. Yugoslavia gradually became a bright spot amid the general grayness of Eastern Europe.
That's cool.
And that was written by the New York Times on May 5th, 1980.
Okay.
1980?
Tito was interred in the House of Flowers, a mausoleum in Belgrade.
Another D&D reference. All right. I like
which forms part of a memorial complex in the grounds of the Museum of Yugoslav History, formerly called the Museum of May 25th and the Museum of the Revolution. The museum keeps the gifts he received during his presidency. The collection includes original prints of Los Caprichos by Francisco Goya, among others.
Oh, man, there's a picture of his little grave thing inside the mausoleum place.
Yeah, you can go visit it today if you want
to. That's fucking wild. His like little tombstone thing, it has 1892. This man was born in 1890. Jesus Christ.
Tito was credited with transforming Yugoslavia from a poor nation to a middle-income one that saw vast improvements in women's rights, health, education, urbanization, industrialization, and many other areas of human and economic development. A 2010 poll found that as many as 81% of Serbians believe that life was better under Tito. Really? Tito also ranked first in the Greatest Croatian poll, which was conducted in 2003 by the Croatian weekly news magazine, Nacional. During his life, and especially in the first year after his death, several places were named after Tito. Several of these have since returned to their original names. One example was Podgorica, which was named Titograd during this period. And its international airport is still identified by the code TGD. And Uzis, which was formerly known as Titova Uzis, which reverted to its original name in 1992. Streets in Belgrade, the capital, have all reverted to their original pre-World War II and pre-communist names as well. In 2004, Anton Angustinek's statue of Tito in his birthplace of Kumrovec was decapitated in an explosion. It was subsequently repaired. Twice in 2008, protests took place in what was then Zagreb's Marshal Tito Square, renamed in 2017 the Republic of Croatia Square, organized by a group called the Circle of the Square, or Circle for the Square, with an aim to force the city government
to... Steve, you got to square the circle, okay? Jesus.
No, this is just like... Oh, fuck, was the name in the goddamn game show back in the 80s? Circle gets the square. What the fuck was that? Was it Celebrity Squares?
Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares, that's what it was.
Yeah.
With an aim to force the city government to rename it to its previous name, while a counter-protest by a citizens' initiative against Ustasism accused the circle for the square of historical revisionism and neo-fascism. The Ustasa were the, like...
Secret police, right?
No, they were, like, the incredibly racist... fascist government of Croatia during World War II, the ones that like the SS thought they were
the Ustasi, that
they went too
right?
far.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of the Stasi in East Germany, which
yeah,
is
I am. Place. Yep, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, I don't know that.
But the Ustasa was like they were so racist and so extreme that the SS was like
H.P. Lovecraft like, fucking blushed.
Was like holy shit.
I just named my cat the thing. What are you doing?
So listen, hear me out. Hollywood Squares, but with like dictators and shitty leaders. And the center square is Hitler. And on the outside, you get like Stalin, Fidel, Saddam.
I feel like this might have been done on like Robot Chicken or something, you know?
Has it?
I don't know. It just sounds like something that somebody would have did.
Listen, you could make that fucking hysterical.
Good, bro. Fire up Macromedia Flash. Let's go.
All right. I'll post it on Newgrounds.
Oh my God. The then Croatian president, Stefan Mesic, criticized the demonstration to change the name. In the Croatian city of Obatia, the main street, also its longest street, still bears the name of Marshal Tito. In Rijeka, the third largest city in Croatia, who refuses to change the name of one of its squares in the city center named after Tito. There are streets named after Tito in numerous towns in Serbia, mostly in the country's north area called Vojvodina. One of the main streets in downtown Sarajevo is called Marshal Tito Street, and Tito's statue in the park in front of the university campus in Marijan Dvor is a place where Bosnians and Sarajevans still today can commemorate and pay tribute to Tito. The largest Tito monument in the world, about 33 feet high, is in Tito Square, in the central square of Velenje, Slovenia.
I wonder if Tito's streets that are named after him are kind of like the streets here in the States where, like, white people lock their doors when they're on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. people who drive down, like, Tito Street, like, lock your doors. Roy windows up.
One of the main...
Don't stop at red light. Don't do it.
Light turns red. No, just go.
That just means look both ways and then maybe go.
Listen, I swear to God, in every single city that I have been, there's always a MLK Jr. Boulevard. Cool.
Yeah.
Every single city I'm in, it is always in the worst part of town. And I
except Orlando. There's a Martin Luther King Boulevard. It's just in downtown here. Like, it's not dangerous at all.
No.
No. It's not. No, I mean, it's definitely bordering on the lower economic end, but it's like really not. It's just little like Asia over there.
Uh-huh.
It's like three Chinese tailors on one corner and a Thai restaurant, you know. That's it, man.
One of the tailors is a dry cleaner.
Yeah, it's like Hong's whatever or something. I can't remember. I'm serious, by the way. That's the name of it. I don't know what you think so funny about Chinese last names, but you know, that's what I mean, bro.
one of the main bridges in Slovenia's second largest city of Maribor is Tito Bridge, and the central square in Koper, the largest Slovenian port city, is named Tito Square. The main asteroid 1550 Tito was discovered by a Serbian astronomer, Milorad B. Prodic, at Belgrade Observatory in 1937, was named in his honor.
Prodic.
Asteroid named for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
I
want to fucking name an asteroid.
Let me tell you something, myself. Dude. You can get that. Just fuck the company that says who's named what. Just say that's Asteroid Ryan. And just tell
like points like hill, like the hill
voraciously write a fucking bot to edit the Wikipedia article over and over again. Every time they correct it, it just goes back. It's Asteroid Ryan.
Jesus Christ.
See? It's not that hard.
The Croat historian Mariana Balaj wrote that for some people in Croatia and other parts of the former Yugoslavia, Tito is remembered as a sort of secular saint, mentioning how some Croats keep portraits of Catholic saints together with the portrait of Tito on their walls as a way to bring hope.
Saint Tito. Oh, my God.
The practice of writing...
I get Saint Tito's at Publix. The chips, they're real good.
Oh, I thought you meant the alcohol.
The practice of writing letters to Tito continued well after his death, with several websites in former Yugoslavia devoted entirely as forums for people to send him posthumous letters, in which which they often write about personal problems. Every year on May 25th, several thousand people from the former Yugoslavia gather in Tito's hometown of Kumrovec and his resting place, Thous of Flowers, to pay tribute to his memory and celebrate the former country's Youth Day, which in the Yugoslav era was one of the biggest annual celebrations. It was marked by the relay of youth with a birthday pledge to Tito. Balaj wrote that much of the Tito cult's posthumous appeal centers around Tito's everyman persona and his image as a friend to ordinary people, in contrast to the way in which Stalin was depicted in his cult of personality as a cold, aloof, godlike figure.
You know, I like him.
Extraordinary you could have qualities a beer with him, set him apart from ordinary people.
He looks like a man you could have beer with, you could eat goulash with.
Most of those who come to Kumrovec on May 25th kiss Tito's statue are women.
Why?
I guess
is it like a hot statue?
Well, you know, he liked the ladies, so you know they're just you know giving him a little sugar in the afterlife.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, Tito had a lot of mistresses and like affairs and stuff.
I mean, if you're at the top in that kind of system, take
I think Bill Burr put it best when he said, you have no idea the kind of pressure these people are kind of put up there. When you got this sloppy CNN actor saying his behavior is reprehensible, bro. You don't have 20-year-old fucking Norwegian girls showing you their tits on the 18th green. You have never been tempted at that level, bro.
Well, like when he was the head of the resistance, his one wife left him. Because she like came into his office or whatever at like the rebel base, and he was like having sex.
She came into his office when he was coming in his office. She came into his office while he came in his office.
Balaji wrote that the Tito's
fuck cult, both of you. That was a good joke. Eat shit.
Balaji wrote that the Tito cult's appeal today owes less to communism,
who?
Observing that most people who come to Komrovic do not believe in communism, more to nostalgia for Tito's Yugoslavia and affection for a ordinary man who became great. Tito was not a Croat nationalist, but the fact that Tito became the world's most famous Croat, serving as leader of the non-aligned movement and being seen as an important world leader, inspires pride in certain quarters of Croatia.
How much of this is just nationalism, though?
Well, that's exactly what I just said.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah,
he was Croatian, and then they're like, well, yeah, he was a great Croatian, so we love him. Every year, a Brotherhood Unity Relay race is organized in Montenegro, North Macedonia.
Do they give out those fucking big ass medals like they do for all the running down here? Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. Absolutely ridiculous. Fucking Eastern European communist general medals and shit.
Yeah, the whole that ends cover.
that ends on May 25th at the House of Flowers, Tito's final resting place. At the same time, runners in Slovenia, Croatia, and Bosnia and Herzegovina set off for Komrovic. The relay is a leftover from the relay of youth from Yugoslav times, when young people made a similar yearly trek on foot through Yugoslavia that ended in Belgrade with a massive celebration. In years following Yugoslavia's dissolution, historians started highlighting the human rights were suppressed in Yugoslavia under Tito, particularly in the first decade before the Tito-Stalin split. At October 4th, 2011, the Slovenian Constitutional Court found a 2009 naming of a street in Ljubljana after Tito to be unconstitutional. While several public areas in Slovenia named during the Yugoslav period already bear Tito's name, on the issues of renaming an additional street, the court ruled that the name Tito does not symbolize the liberation of the territory of present-day Slovenia from fascist occupation in World War II, as claimed by the other party in the case, but also grave violations of human rights and basic freedoms, especially in the decade following World War II. But the court made clear that the purpose of the review was not a verdict on Tito as a figure or on his concrete actions, as well as not a historical weighing of facts and circumstance. Slovenia has several streets and squares named after Tito, as I mentioned. Some scholars have named Tito as responsible for the systematic eradication of the ethnic German population in Vojvodina by expulsion and mass executions during the collapse of the German occupation of Yugoslavia at the end of World War II, in contrast to his inclusive attitude towards the Yugoslav nationalities. These would be the Danube Swabian population, which is actually like something that happened like throughout all of like Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
So there were large populations of Germans, ethnic Germans, in these countries, like in Yugoslavia, in Hungary, in Romania, in Russia, in Poland, who like were barely like they barely spoke German, and the German they spoke was generally like unintelligible to like regular Germans.
Yeah, it's like when you go to like Louisiana and you hear like the real deep Cajun people, you don't really understand a fucking word those people are saying.
But all these people essentially got like forcibly removed, because that's like one of the big lies about like Poland is that people say like Poland is like a mono ethnic country, and it's like, well, Poland's a mono ethnic country because they ethnically cleansed all the minorities that live there.
Is Poland really a mono ethnic country right now?
Yeah, it is currently.
It's very weird.
There's a couple of people too. There were Germans that lived there. There was another Slavic group that lived there, called the Sorbs, and they were
Sorbs?
Yeah, the Sorbs, and they were the Sorbs were ethnically cleansed by both the East Germans and the Poles, but they essentially said you don't exist anymore. And like in East Germany, they had a small population that was allowed to exist, but it was essentially like they like destroyed their culture because a small minority that spoke a different language and had different customs didn't match up with their mm-hmm. national identity, so they just like wiped them out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really good Polish movie about two singers called Cold War, and it was one that Amazon made and like won Academy Award and stuff, and it follows them from like the 40s into the 60s, these two singers, as they deal with like living, like going into communism and like dealing with it. And there's a part at the beginning where they're listening to these people sing a song, and the one person says like, oh, that's a beautiful song, we should record it because they're going around the country recording Polish music. And one of them remarks, well, we can't record that because it's not a Polish song, it's a Sorb song. And they said, so we can't include that. It's not Polish.
Wow.
Insane.
So yeah, that is the life and times of one Josip Broz Tito.
Oh, thank God.
Josip!
I thought he'd never finish, and he finally did, you know. I mean, it was in his paperwork. It said, you know, in the event that he dies, you know, it's possible he won't.
Joey B.
All right. And that's the story of Giuseppe Brozo Titoski.
What a story.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
All right, well, good night.
Yeah, fuck off.
Good luck.
Good night.